What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am all out of sorts.
Out of sorts, eh?
Completely out of sorts. I have still not gotten used to the fact that I've woken up now two mornings in a row without you by my side. My daily routine has been thrown completely off course. You are in Florida. I am here in Pittsburgh in the cold. But yet somehow, some way, we made this episode work.
Yeah, this is our first time recording, not next to each other.
That's true. But in an effort to bring it back to the original spirit of Bear With Us, back when it was just the morning show with Matt and Leah, I have refused to actually put on clothes today. I'm still decked out in my customized bathrobe, emblazoned with the nickname Shoe Weenie, which is not a nickname that I go by or answer to, but it was an inside joke from
Married with Children. Yes.
That Leah decided to put on my incredibly comfy bathrobe for Christmas. So
you're welcome, honey.
I'm comfortable with nothing else.
It's weird. This is not only our first time recording, like not next to each other. This is our first time not being around each other since Thanksgiving.
You make it sound like that's outrageous. Like that's egregious.
So here's the thing. I've been thinking about how we're going to talk about this and how we're going to get into it. But with our jobs, I know we don't talk about our jobs that much on here, but in order for people to understand really like how our lives work, before you and I moved in together, I'm used to leaving my home on Saturday mornings, being by myself until Wednesday morning when I get home, driving town to town, having shows, working. So being on my own from Saturdays until Wednesdays, and I would have two full days at home to get ready to get back on the road. And that was my life for 7 years. You take that away because of the pandemic and all of that, because we're not doing that anymore. And then go into spending all of my time with you. That's all we do. We wake up together. We go to sleep together. We go to work together. We travel together. We're in the hotel together. That is not normal.
It's not normal. But when you say it and you explain it, it sounds to me much like it must feel when people are on the verge of death and they finally see that white light and they go, oh, that's heaven. That's where I want to be.
What? Away from each other?
No, with me 24 hours a day.
You're fucking delusional. It's not normal. And I think even just the last few days, I'm feeling more myself again, because it's easy to get wrapped up in your partner. It's easy to get, even if you weren't my boyfriend, if you were just like my sister or my friend, who
some random dude you live with.
No, I mean, the person I'm spending all of my time with, I would be losing my mind. I'd be getting sick of that person. I would be like, and for some reason, I don't know how we make this work without killing each other, but it's important to take a step away. And sometimes it's like you start sort of losing yourself. I feel like I forget what I'm about, what I like, what I don't like. So I'm like, oh, Matt likes this. Then I must like this. Matt does this. I have to do that. And it's not anything you're doing that's making me feel that way. It's just you start slowly like morphing into the other person. And I just was feeling like I was getting mad at you for no reason. I was getting annoyed for no reason and just having to keep biting my tongue for, because there was nothing you were doing that was making me mad. It's like, how do you survive? It's not normal. And I realized that like the last few days being like, okay, just take a deep breath. Like, and it's not like I don't love you. It's not like I like you any less. It's nothing to do with that. But it was just like all day, every day, all day, every day. That's not normal. And it's not like when we're home, I can go do something. I can go like, cause nothing's really open in Pittsburgh.
I was going to say, thank you for clarifying that. Cause you make it sound like I'm holding you hostage.
No, it's cold. It's dark. It's rainy. It's miserable this time of year. And we're in the middle of the pandemic and the restrictions are still very like strict in Pittsburgh. So it's just, I'm beholden to our home and we're together all the time.
Listen, I promise when you come home, I will unchain you from the radiator for one extra hour every day.
Okay, you know what I mean. What is your perspective of this?
To your point about getting to just do things on your own terms, I was able to sit on our couch last night and watch a documentary, which I didn't think you would have much interest in. Watching it back now, I think you'll love it, but you're going to have to watch it with me, possibly heavily armed, because it was the sort of stuff that gives you anxiety and nightmares anyway, let alone finding it to be a true crime documentary. Night Stalker on Netflix. I can't really binge watch too many shows. Like, we watch The Office for hours on end, but beyond that, like after an hour or two, I kind of lose interest. Started last night after you said goodnight and went to bed. I laid in bed and watched two episodes and was like, I started the third because I was so captivated and into it, but I was also kind of tired. So I turned it off so I could be like with it when I finished watching it. So at 7 a.m. today, I was watching the second half of the Night Stalker documentary about Richard Ramirez, one of the most vile, brutal serial killers in American history. And I confidently say that I probably would not have been able to do that had you been present, at least not in the time frame that I did, because of your need for breathing after any sort of heaviness in a television program.
Right.
We still haven't finished Ratched, by the way.
I know.
Because you watch one episode of something that gives you anxiety and then you need to watch like 3 hours of The Office. Right.
No, I just need like one episode like before I go to bed. But yeah, it's just, even when we go to bed together. Like the only time I get to, not that you don't let me watch what I want to watch, but it's like, I know that you don't enjoy the things like The Real Housewives and things on Bravo. So the only time I get to watch stuff like that is if I wake up extra early in the morning and watch that while you're still sleeping. So it's just, I feel like it's been okay to have like a little breath of fresh air. Cause I feel like when I get back in touch with myself, especially got the last few days with my sister, and she just like, she's my best friend, like other than you. So it's nice to just see her and be with her. And I feel like, okay, this is who I am. I'm not just this person who has nothing to do with their life and just sits around all day. Like, cause there's nothing to do back home. I'm feeling better already.
I have a question for you that I've been sitting on since yesterday when we spoke. Last night, you and your sister went out to a nice dinner together. And when we were talking prior to your exit for dinner plans, you were getting ready. I was very excited that you FaceTimed me in a state of undress. However, once you did get dressed, you were wearing jeans that I imagine are considered highly fashionable, but they very visibly did not allow the use of underwear. And to me, the thought of wearing jeans without underwear seems like the least comfortable thing in the history of humankind.
Well, that's because you have a big dick.
Yeah, but I feel like that sort of region, no matter what you possess down there, it's kind of like, I don't want denim rubbing up on it.
Well, here's the thing. They're baggy. So it's not like I was wearing tight jeans. They were baggy. They were loose fit. So nothing was rubbing up on anything.
They have like a string on the, or a chain on the
side.
They look great. They look hot.
By the way, the amount of compliments I got on those last night, like women were coming over to me while me and Brie were eating. Oh my gosh, I just have to tell you, I'm thinking maybe they recognize me from like, I love your jeans. It's like, thanks.
Yeah, no, they were cool. Like I was just like, I was just the guy in me and was looking at them going, those have got to suck. And I know like you are not unlike many women who will happily endure agony and pain in the name of fashion. Like those shoes that you always wear, the red bottom ones,
Louboutin, yeah.
Which is not Louis Vuitton, which took me several years to know the difference.
Christian Louboutin.
These are things I have learned over the last year or so. And they like make your feet bleed.
I don't wear them regularly. I wore them for TV, like, cause my character is a bougie bitch, but in real life, I hate wearing Louboutins. They're so uncomfortable. Not worth it. You spend thousands of dollars to have your feet bleed. Like, I'll just stomp on my own feet for that.
Yeah, right. For $1,000, like I better be able to get a foot massage as I'm walking and have air conditioning. And I want options. I want it to be like a car. If I'm spending that much money, I want to choose the interior.
I thought when you said, when you answered the FaceTime last night, when I wasn't wearing clothes, actually you FaceTimed me, by the way. I didn't FaceTime you. That's why I wasn't wearing clothes. So I thought you were going to bring up my third nipple that I have. That's what I thought you were
going to
say.
I was not going to bring up your third nipple, but since you went there, I mean, we can share this with the world.
I don't have a third nipple, you guys.
It's not technically a third nipple, but it is somewhat impressive in that you managed to obtain a bruise on the side of your boob.
The inside of my boob right here.
I didn't specify which side. I just said the side. Like that boob? That's my side boob.
And it's like the size of a nickel. And it looks like a nipple.
Yeah, for some reason, the dead center of it is not bruised. It's not purple, and it looks, compared to your skin color, like a perfectly shaped, perfectly round areola and nipple.
It's like a nubbin if you've watched Friends.
I haven't gotten that far, but Mill just sent us a text that said it's a nubbin. And so obviously you and our producer are on the same Friends page. I'm still getting there, Mill. I'm still working my way through. But unfortunately for myself and all of my bizarre sci-fi fantasies, we have not been together since you obtained the bruise.
I know.
So I have not been able to capitalize on the weirdness. By the time we get together, it will surely be.
Let's see if it's still there.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. So a little beat up this week. I have a bit of a black eye. My back.
Not my fault. Let's clarify.
My neck are really jacked up. If any of you know what we do for a living, check out what happened on Sunday. You'll see. So this is what I want to get into. And I'm sure a lot of the women listening can relate. So this morning, Matt and I are FaceTiming because, again, we're not together. And like, you know, our little good morning FaceTime, it's almost like circa 2019 when we first started hanging out, like when we first would have to FaceTime all the time and like not together. That's what it felt like this morning. So we're FaceTiming and he was like talking about how, you know, we're going to do our podcast via Zoom today. And I said, well, I hope they don't use the video aspect of it because I look like shit. I have a black eye. I just look like I've been in a fight. And Matt said, well, that's how you know I still love you. And I'm like,
But
I want to hear. No, babe, you are beautiful no matter what.
You didn't even talk about how that exchange started. It was by me telling you that you were beautiful. And then you started going, yeah, but this. Yeah.
When did you tell me I was beautiful? Please tell me.
I told you that yesterday. And then I told you something.
Without my makeup?
Yes. I said something to you this morning of the effect of you look great or I think you're beautiful or you're cute or something. And you went.
First of all, I don't think you've ever told me I was cute. That's never come out of your mouth.
I don't know what the word is that I used this morning, but it was complimentary. So what else would have spawned you going, oh, but I haven't done my hair and my eyes or.
No, I said, I don't feel cute to do the Zoom call. I said, I look like garbage because I have a black eye and I look tired. I don't look cute. And you go, well, that's how you know I still love you.
Revisionist history.
Basically meaning like, even though you look like babe, I still love you.
No, I was simply going back to my initial compliment. Which is why it's you're
babe,
fishing.
It's so funny how you're delusional fishing. You are.
I'm not delusional. You have selective memory.
No, you have selective memory. And all I want is for you to tell me, especially when I'm feeling down, especially when I'm not feeling my best, for you to just be like, babe, you're so perfect. You're lovely. And I love looking at you, even when you don't have makeup on and you look like you've been in a fight. That's all a girl wants to hear.
Well, you don't look like you've been in a fight, and that's why I complimented you to begin with. So quit trying to undo my sweetness. You can't have caveats on compliments from guys. Girls, listen, everyone listening. If your guy says something nice to you, take it at face value. It's not necessarily meant to be this deep, psychoanalyzed statement where you go, well, why did he say that? Well, he might have said this because he did something wrong. No, sometimes it's okay for you to just tell your partner, hey, you look nice. You're cute. And there's no ulterior motives. I'm not trying to cover something up. I'm not trying to get something from you. Like, I was just saying, hey, it's nice to see your face, baby. It makes my morning better. And you all of a sudden went, meh.
Oh, my God. Excuse me.
Sorry. Would you like another flaming mo over there, Barney? God damn, you and Carl should have a few after work at the plant today. Good Lord. Anyway, the world is sort of getting back to normal, so much so that I think you and I have the pleasure of announcing something pretty cool.
This is so exciting. So you guys, I can't even explain how f***ing excited I am to announce that we are going to be doing the first ever Bear With Us live podcast in Pittsburgh. It's on February 27th at the PA Market in the Strip District. So if you're anywhere near the Pittsburgh area, it's going to be socially distant, of course. First come, first serve. There's only so many spots because of, you know, we're trying to be safe with it. Are you excited?
I am excited. I'm excited to see faces, to put faces to names. We get so much cool feedback on social media and via email. it's always cool to bump in. I actually ran into somebody not too long ago in a record store down here that said, oh yeah, I love Bear With Us. And I was like, oh my God, people actually listen to this, like actual real
There's
civilian
like three people.
People
and that's so be, exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, heck, I mean, at that rate, we're going to be half full, but yeah, it's going to be something cool. Obviously we're not gonna be able to broadcast it live as it happens, but it will be recorded. We will let it see the light of day. Hopefully the week following, provided we can get it all edited up and don't have any sort of technical difficulties, but that's excited. So if you are in or around the greater Pittsburgh region, February 27th, it's a Saturday night. It's going to be socially distant. We're going to answer questions from the crowd, have a little fun, just change it up.
We're going to have some cocktails. It's presented by Capo Cana, so everyone will have a beautiful glass of wine. It's going to be fun. And we're just going to be, like, as you said, I'm just going to be a dude.
Yeah, well, hopefully some dudes show up. I mean, that way I have somebody that can relate to the pain and agony that I suffer every waking moment.
Excuse me.
I'm still thinking back to that ungodly belch you unleashed on the world.
So can I just say, you guys, Matt told me a couple weeks ago, something got brought up about burps. Like I burped
in the kitchen, and I tried to minimize it, to stifle it. But it came out.
And I was like, wow, that's the first time I've ever heard you burp. Because he's very private about all of the gases coming out of his body. I've never heard him toot. Like maybe once or twice I've heard him toot. And that's only because our bathroom is so close to our bed in the bedroom. So I have heard it a couple times. Or in like the hotel room, I've heard it. But he doesn't like to, you know, put that out there. He's very private about his bodily functions. And I heard him burp and I was like, wow. And he's like, yeah, I'm not really like, he says he doesn't really like to burp in front of people, but he didn't mind if I burped in front of him. And I was like, are you serious? I might as well have hit the lottery when he told me that. I'm like, wait until you hear like how good of a burper I am. Cause that is something I've held back for the last 2 years because I was afraid he was going to judge me, break up with me, not like me anymore because I can belch like no other. And so then finally, like, what was it? 2 weeks ago in the hotel room, I had a little bit of a diet pop and I let it rip. It was as if like angels came down from the heavens above. A light was like shining on me. And I was like, oh, I could finally let out a burp in front of you. And now I don't get worried about it anymore.
To that exact same point, I was browsing through the mailbag, which we will dive into fully in a moment. And earlier today, actually, I received an email from one of our beloved listeners. And I'm going to paraphrase here because it's a very long, very eloquently written email. But there is one line that is of particular note to me, one section. And this is, I've been married to my high school sweetheart for almost 30 years. We've been together 35 years. And let me tell you the secret. This is all caps. Never poop in front of each other. Just don't.
Babe, I don't want to poop in front of you. I don't even poop. It just like poof comes out my belly button in a little magical glittery gas.
Okay, let's change the subject quickly. I mean, I don't know how much longer I can.
How uncomfortable are you?
My skin's crawling right now. Very, very uncomfortable.
Well, anyway, back to the event. It's going to be fun. Check out our Instagram. We'll give out the details for that soon. Pancake wants to come up. Come here.
Pancake will not be there. He is banned.
Maybe he'll be there. You don't know.
I hope he's not.
He's there. Our mascot. He's going to dress up like a panda.
Can we at least teach him to do cartwheels or something cool if he's going to be a mascot?
I mean, I taught him how to sit, lay down, paw, stay. I'm basically Caesar Milan. What have you taught him how to do?
I haven't taught him how to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the dog whisperer.
I'm just the dog.
You're the dog. D-A-W-G. You're my dog. You're like Randy Jackson. You know what, dog? It's a no from me, dog.
Unfortunately, this morning I didn't get to wake up beside my beloved Leah, but I did start the day the same way I always do with a highlight of my morning, Magic Spoon cereal. Growing up, we all loved cereal, but it's not always healthy for you. Magic Spoon has changed all that. I've been trying to cut down my carbs and sugar and unhealthy foods in general, and I realized that I basically can't eat anything anymore, except for Magic Spoon cereal. Magic Spoon's released a brand new variety pack, and get this, it now features the peanut butter flavor. They released peanut butter as a limited edition flavor in 2020, and it sold out 3 times, but peanut butter got so much love, they've decided to add it in the permanent best-selling variety pack, which also includes frosted, fruity, and cocoa. Get this, 0 sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. Okay. If you mix the cocoa flavor with the peanut butter, it tastes exactly like a peanut butter cup. And it tastes exactly like regular cereal from your childhood. But this stuff is super nutritious, is delicious, but super healthy. And it really brings joy to my morning or afternoon or sometimes late at night when I get the munchies. Go to magicspoon.com/bearwithus to grab a variety pack and try it today. Make sure you use our code BEARWITHUS at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/bearwithus and use the code BEARWITHUS to save $5 off. That's B-A-R-E with us. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode.
Now the fails, it makes me want to wag my little tail. When it comes, when it comes, I want to wail.
I'm going to send a suggestion to Tim Cook that all Apple devices in the future come automatically equipped with auto-tune.
I don't need auto-tune. You don't need auto-tune when you have a voice like mine. I don't know if you know this, but I have a song on Apple Music with Ron Killings. I rap, I sing, I dance, I wrestle.
You're humble.
I dress well. I'm funny. What can't this girl do? Someone tell me. All right, honey. Question number one, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah, love the podcast. I'm writing all the way from Barbados. My question is, I've been in a string of bad relationships. All that changed when I met my fiance. We've been together for the past 6 years and have been engaged for 3. I'm ready to get married, but every time I bring up the subject of actually getting married, it leads to an argument. So what I'm really asking is, should I take this as maybe he's scared of commitment? And should I issue an ultimatum? Okay, here's the thing. He has cold feet. He doesn't want to marry you. 100%. You can't be engaged for 3 years without even at all mentioning the wedding or getting married. You don't get engaged without the intent of getting married. He's probably doing it, no offense, to just like get you off his back and to be like, okay, sure, here's an engagement ring. Let's get married someday. But he's not committing because you're not even, you don't have a date set. And I'm not saying as soon as you get engaged, you have to set the date and all of that. Like, I know every relationship is different. But to me, it sounds like he's dragging his feet and doesn't want to get married.
Ordinarily, I would strongly take the man's side of things. However, and we've talked about it on this show before about how ultimatums are generally awful. Like, nothing will send me running in the other direction than being given an ultimatum as pertains to our relationship. However, 3 years is a lot. 3 years of being engaged is a lot.
And they've been together 6.
Right. You and I have been talking about just how long at this point you and I have been together. And it's like shocking how quick that creeps up on you. You know what I mean? Like, you said something about how it'd be coming up on like 2 years since we first hung out. And I was like, oh my God, that feels like a million years ago.
Thanks.
That came out completely wrong. What I meant is it felt like it was just yesterday where it was like, oh my God, it's already been that long, which is, I think, a testament to like how I still feel around you.
Nice save, babe.
That was just a brain fart. I wasn't even, honestly, I wasn't going to save there. I think, yeah, after that long, I wouldn't say like, hey, this ultimate, I'm leaving if you don't marry me within 3 months or whatever, but you got to sit them down and have a conversation. Maybe it's just kind of like, okay, I've had 15 other things in my life that I've been focused on. And I'm not saying that's correct. Maybe he just hasn't prioritized it at the top of things. So it's on you to get him to reprioritize, let him know how important it is to you, that it's done in a timely manner. Like, hey, it's been 3 years. What are we doing here? To your point, not everyone gets set to date immediately. If it's 6 months and you're like, look, I don't know. There's some things going on at work. We're trying to figure out some scenarios and some variables. Okay, but 3 years is enough time to get it done.
like, you can't nag, you can't be a bitch about it, you can't yell at him. I think at this point, it's been 3 years. You have to sit down and have a very serious conversation, point blank. It's black and white. Do you want to marry me? Yes or no? Because you're the one who asked me to marry you. And now 3 years later, we're not even, the fact that he's making it an argument every time you bring it up, that's not okay. But you also can't nag him about it. You have to have a conversation. And if you want to marry him and he wants to marry you, figure it out. And if he's still saying no, then you know what? You got to cut your losses and move on, because you can't be just sitting around waiting for the day he decides it's okay. It has to be a mutual thing. And if you're sitting around like, well, why aren't you marrying me? Like, that's not okay. You have to both be on the same page.
Yeah. And I think you need to take stock of, and I'm not accusing you of, but just in case, maybe you are coming at him the wrong way, because I think it's all in the presentation. I know if there's some conversation that I don't want to have, if it's, you know, not presented to me properly, I will think of any excuse possible to not have that conversation or have it on my terms. So maybe you're coming at him the wrong way. But to Leah's point, you do have to have a conversation, but you have to sit down as adults. It doesn't have to be confrontational. Don't bring anger to it. Bring it to like a, hey, look, what are we doing? We're mature adults. Figure that out.
Don't be a bitch. Don't yell at him. Don't talk at him. Talk to him. Have a conversation.
On the other hand, if you are attempting to do that and he's still not receptive, maybe the problem is not on your side of things. So
bye.
There you go.
Question number two, honey. Okay, so this one is a very lengthy email, so I'm just going to kind of sum it up for everyone. Basically, this woman, where she worked, there was a guy that would kind of like be flirty with her, and she kind of just didn't pay any mind to it. She wasn't like feeding into it, but she knew like she has to be professional at work. So then something happened. There was an incident where she was like offended with what this guy had done to her at work. It wasn't anything over the top inappropriate, but she just didn't really like it, right? So she would try to tell her boyfriend about it. And instead of him being there for her, he was mad at her that this incident went down. The end part of the email was, I should have been, babe, are you okay? What can I do for you? Instead, I went straight into, see, I told you, which got us into the worst fight we ever had. I apologize the next day and we made up, but again, things are weird. I want to get past this and try to get things right again, but I have no idea how. Do you have any advice? Whew. Does that make sense how I worded that?
It made total sense. I can relate on several accounts of this, whereas I've been guilty of, you want to blame because you go, I've been telling you, I knew that guy was into you. I knew that guy was going to be a problem. That's, I think, a lot of people's first reaction. And it's not necessarily accusatory. It's not anger at you. And I'm just going to use you as an example, Leah, just because I can't think of anybody else. But if something happens that I quote unquote warned you about, or I saw coming and it happens, my first instinct is to go, see, told you so. And that's not necessarily right, but it's also, screw you, Leah. You're so stupid. I knew this was going to, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily.
Right. There's a way to go about it. Because, you know, sometimes people need to learn for themselves. Someone can tell, like, if you touch that burner, it's really hot. You're going to burn your hand. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's like a kid, right? You tell them, don't do it. It's really hot. But the kid does not learn until they actually burn their hand on the stove. And sometimes in life, like, you need to learn for yourself. Someone can tell you something. Everyone can warn you about it. But until you know yourself and you feel it, you're not going to learn. And you just want your partner to be there for you and say, you know what? We talked about this, but I understand why you needed to learn on your own, rather than being, I told you, you idiot. And then it creates a whole fight.
You and I run into this pretty frequently. There are a lot of times that you'll want support or something from me without prefacing it saying, hey, babe, I'm having a bad day. I just need you to be there. It's almost like an expectation you have, which isn't wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. You should be able to have that expectation from your partner no matter what. But there are times when it's like, well, I don't know what you're looking at me for. I told you how to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes to your, you know, from your end, you say like, sometimes I just want to be in a bad mood for a little while and vent, and then it's all good. Luckily, it sounds like they kind of hammered things out, you know, with a little bit of weirdness. But I think this is an instance where a good apology and a conversation will do wonders.
Question number three, honey. Hi, Matt and Leah. I am in love with your podcast. It is simply amazing. I'm so late to the game, but I'm totally catching up. Leah, don't ever stop singing. See, I don't need auto-tune, babe. I swear you are the best. I have a question. So my boyfriend of almost a year can go days without talking to me. He's kind of in a funk with the pandemic, but I worry about him. We don't live together, but I always want to make sure he's okay, but I feel like he can be so distant. I honestly thought he was mad at me when we went a week without talking. It drove me nuts, but I finally just came out and asked him why, and he explained that it's him, but I don't know. It seems weird, not sure what to do. If you can give any advice at all, I would be so grateful. Stay golden.
First and foremost, whether it be a romantic relationship or just a friendship or a family member, if you're concerned about somebody, reach out to them. They may ignore your text, but at least speaking from as someone who's dealt with, you know, as far down in the dumps as one can be, sometimes just a message, just like a, hey, how you doing, it means the world. And particularly in a relationship, just an acknowledgement once in a while. Like if you know, we have busy days at work, we'll both be in the same building and not see each other all day, but it's just a, hey, babe, hope everything's going well. Or, hey, you know, what do you want to do for dinner? Or just any sort of acknowledgement kind of breaks the monotony of, you know, when you're feeling isolated and alone, even if you're around a bunch of people.
I mean, I don't know how I would feel going the whole week without hearing from you. That would be weird. If you go a few hours without hearing from me, you say, are you okay? What did I do wrong? Why are you mad at me? Things are off. Things are weird. And it's like, no, just like hanging out, doing my own thing. Like, but that's the difference. Like Matt is someone that likes to talk, always be sort of, you know, in the loop. And me, I'm not to the extreme as this chick is saying her boyfriend is, but I kind of take a step away. I like to just, you know, be alone for a little bit, but not a whole week. That would be very weird. So I think it's just one of those things, you have to be there for him and let him know any way you can help. Because this is a very difficult time. It's kind of like we're talking about this whole podcast. Like this pandemic is weird, you know, especially they don't live together. They're not around each other. I don't know if he has work to focus on or friends to focus on, or maybe he doesn't have anything to focus on. I don't know. So it's all just very hard and difficult. And all you can do is be there for him the best way you can.
This is a perfect opportunity to utilize the two of the three tenets of our relationship, honesty and communication. Be honest with him. Tell him you're concerned. He's got to talk about it. You want to talk about it? Talk about it.
And don't make it about you, right? So like you can't say, not you, but this girl, she can't call him and say, you know, you're making me feel like you don't care about me and you're not being there for me in our relationship. Like just because that to me is one of the worst things you can do in a relationship is make it about you when the other person is having a hard time. This guy is obviously going through something. He's not feeling himself. So she just has to say, you know, I'm here for you, whatever I can do, like, let me know, rather than being like, well, I don't feel like you're being a very good partner right now. You're not like, you can't.
Yeah. Now go at him. It's not an accusatory tone. You got to just be there. I agree completely. I can feel for him too, as well. Just like you. I mean, both of us have done it. We've gone through it separately. We've gone through it concurrently. This world's upside down right now. So it's okay to not be totally normal, kind of be in your thoughts and your feelings and in your own mind. But, just keep checking on him. And hey, if you may not get the answers you're looking for, you may not get the answer you want, but at least you'll have an answer. And I think that's ultimately all anybody really wants.
That's kind of like the genesis of this podcast.
Yes, exactly. If you're,
we don't know what we're talking about.
He might be sitting there waiting for a partner to come podcast with him. Maybe you guys have the greatest relationships podcast that has yet to see the light of day. But stay on him. Stay with it.
Bear with him, you know.
I see what you did there. What are you going to do for the rest of your day?
I'm going to go shopping, I think, and then get a massage.
Bougie bitch.
It's my last day of me time for I don't know how long, you know. I don't know how long you're going to keep me tied to the radiator.
No, depends on how well you behave.
What are you going to do the rest of the day?
I'm going to take my kids to dinner. I'm going to pack and I'm going to go to sleep early, because the sooner I go to sleep, the sooner I get to wake up and hop on a plane and see your sexy ass in person.
Oh, lucky me.
I'm just hoping that third nipple's still there.
Well, this was fun. I like this. It's not terrible doing it away from each other. Maybe I'll come down here more often.
Yeah, totally. Just stay there.
It's weird that I can't touch you. You're there.
I'm not frozen. I'm like Batista in that Marvel movie. I've learned the ability to move so slow I can't be detected by human eyes.
I don't know what that means.
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us. Oh my God, excuse me.
Would you like another flaming Mo over there, Barney?